God's love and goodness trumps temptation. God's love and His goodness. I'll hopefully be able to show you what I mean by that as I preach from this passage. But I would like you to go to a reference passage in Luke chapter 11. I'll pick it up at verse 9. I'm sure that'd be very, very familiar to most of you. Jesus, after giving the parable, says, "And I say unto you," after talking to them about this persistent friend, "ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Then he tells another parable. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Let's pray. Oh, Father, may You this morning, by the ministry of Your Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us, reprove us of sin, encourage us when we need encouragement. But above all else, may we have just a little deeper understanding of Your love and what this means that Jesus said concerning the gift of the Holy Spirit. Bless us now as we look into Your Word. Well, Father, hide me behind the cross. Bless Your Word. Use it in a powerful way. Do what only You can do. Hide me behind the cross for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We continue in James, so you can keep your finger there in Luke. We are going to come back to the last verse that I read, verse 13, but I'd like to go back to James. And we did leave off in James chapter 1 last week, where after talking about temptations and solicitations, the evil do not come by God. James ended that by saying, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Do not make the mistake of accusing God of soliciting you to do evil, because every good and perfect gift is from God. God's love and goodness trumps temptation. Don't you wish that temptation came with a warning, kind of like those pharmaceutical commercials you see on TV? You know what I'm talking about? Especially like the one that aired during the Super Bowl. It was a Xfactin ad about an animated intestine watching the football game, but is forced to leave kind of in a dash when, you know, the stomach eruptions begin and pressure strikes, and he runs to the bathroom, but then he's horrified. I love when they see that look on his face, to find a meandering lion coming out of the bathroom. But after taking Xfactin, the little guy is able to march proudly back to the stadium and watch the game, you know, through his binoculars. Now, about 55 seconds is dedicated to tell you how wonderful Xfactin is, and then finally there's that 5-second warning given, and they say it about 90 miles an hour, telling you all the harmful side effects you can experience if you take Xfactin, including nausea, vomiting, constipation, bloating, gas, stomach pain, headaches, dizziness, swelling in your hands, feet, torso, diarrhea, continued diarrhea, irritability, dry mouth, loss of hearing, sore throat, insomnia, swollen lips, loss of hair. Phew. I can't even do it as fast as they do. I'll tell you what, do you really want to take that pill? Temptation does not come with any warning, because the devil is too busy trying to sell it. But thank God that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, went back to heaven, and dispatched the Holy Spirit, because it is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about in Luke What a wonderful gift that He's imparted to everyone who's saved. Because when you do get a temptation now, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says what? Don't do that! Don't do that! You have the warning. And He doesn't spit it out 90 miles an hour. He tells you how much God loves you, and that you're a child of God, and He warns you, don't go down that path. I want to do a quick review. Remember, we talked about temptation. And I remind you that temptation itself, in and of itself, is not sin, but yielding to the temptation. We talked about how temptation works last time. We talked about James using the language of hunting and fishing. And then he went from the language of hunting and fishing, which we understand to be the bait, the lure, and then into the language of conception. Once sin has been conceived, then sin bringeth forth death. Don't let Satan put you on a guilt trip, ladies and gentlemen, because thoughts of temptation enter your mind. They enter all of our minds. Jesus Himself was tempted, yet never sinned. Amen? Hebrews 4:15. You look that up. Tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I remind you from last week's message that temptation is an inward solicitation resulting from an outward testing or tempting. Listen, temptation is a real and often daily experience that every believer must learn how to handle. And I said last time, I stressed that if this is something we're going to encounter, we better understand how it works. Amen. And we talked about how it works last week. But I don't like to leave things just telling you how it works. I'm going to tell you how you can be an overcomer. And that's the message today, that God's love and goodness, it will trump temptation. But you have to allocate God's resources. That's what we're going to talk about. James told his readers in verse 16, do not err. And then there's that loving, entreating message that every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. And we're just going to focus on that. There's so much in that. And then next week we're going to talk about our Father, that there's no change ever with God. But James tells his readers, don't be deceived, my beloved brother, because every good thing bestowed by God is perfect. That's all God ever sends, amen? If God's blessing you, it's good. And when God tests you, He doesn't tempt you. His testing is to grow you spiritually and to perfect you. Now, to overcome temptation, we must not only remember that it does not originate with God, we must understand how it works, but we also must understand that God has provided the resources for us to overcome, because He loves you. Now let's look at this verse. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. You know, in the original language, there are two different words for the word translated in English, gift. To emphasize the perfection and the inclusiveness of God's grace toward you and me. The word good that's used here is a wonderful Greek word, agathos. I love that word. Agathos, because it means being good in its character or constitution, and it is beneficial to us. See, God is the source of nothing but good. Amen? You need to understand that. A lot of people blame God. You get angry at God. If you read the Daily Bread this morning, it's part and parcel of who we are. I haven't even read the Daily Bread, but the guy, he's complaining about driving around an old beater, station wagon, Because he had to sell his home and he had to sell his other car, and he wound it up with this kind of beater station wagon, and he got angry at God because let one more thing happen, God, and then he realized that he had just sinned because God had just saved his wife and his son from illness. Sometimes we are just too planted here in the things of the world. God loves you. God is a giving God, and no matter how hard you may look, no one gives more for your good than God. He always has your best interest at heart. You may not think so. And I can help you with that. If you're a parent, you're a grandparent, sometimes your kids ask you for things that they don't need. They're not going to be a blessing. In fact, it could be the ruination of them. Amen? And you give them what they need. I remember a couple of Christmases, my dad, for Christmas, there were seven of us, and he was out of work a lot of times in the winter because back in those days, bricklayers couldn't lay bricks when it was 8 below 0. The mortar would freeze. they've changed all that now. But anyway, he did always have a lot of money when it came to Christmas time. But he always got us a little something, but he always got us something that we need. And I remember one year, we all got new shoes. And I'm like, oh, what a Christmas. But you know, I needed new shoes. And I guess I would really appreciate them if I didn't have any shoes at all. And then Dad set us down and he said, my brothers and I, we lived through the Depression. Grandpa didn't have money for shoes. And we were like, what? No, Grandpa didn't have money for shoes. We said, Dad, then what did you do? He said, we just kept wearing the old ones that got holes in the bottom. He said, then we cut cardboard out, and we put the cardboard in the bottom of the shoes until the cardboard ran out. Whew. Thank you, Dad, for the shoes. And if our earthly fathers give us good gifts, as Jesus said in Luke, just think what God is doing for your benefit. Amen? We don't often think about that. He not only gives us good gifts, but go back, it says every good gift and perfect gift. It's interesting. The word gift, there's two words used in the Greek New Testament for gift. Perfect gift refers to the object of the gift, the perfect gift. It's telos delios in Greek, meaning complete, lacking nothing. When God gives you a gift, it's complete, it's perfect, it doesn't lack anything. You say, well, what if it's not what I need? God always gives you what you need. Now, do we appropriate it correctly? Maybe not. Let's not blame God. God desires for His children to overcome sinful temptation, and He has provided good for us. It's all in His Word. In fact, today, I'm going to endeavor to give you 10 aspects from the good Word of God that we might overcome temptation. Now look, there's more than 10. It's not exhaustive in this message. And if you would get just a few of these, maybe half of them, I'll guarantee if you will apply just 5 of these, you'll be an overcomer. Jesus said, if you, speaking to earthly fathers, being evil, meaning we are sinful men, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And do you know we need the Holy Spirit to overcome sin? Did you know that? You cannot truly have victory over sin unless you are born again and have the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit comes in, Ephesians 1:13, you are sealed in the day of redemption. You are guaranteed eternal life. But number two, Jesus explained in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit would be given to reprove the world of sin, to convict us of sin. It says that in John 16. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 16, 8 and verse 9. And so once we have the Holy Spirit, we do have a warning, a loving warning concerning giving in to temptation. We do. That's a wonderful thing. That's how much God loves us. Now the case He is making is that in contrast to the temptation to do evil, all good and perfect gifts come from our Father. And understanding that truth is critical to overcoming temptation. Why? Because the devil will try to convince us, like he did, Adam and Eve. That God's holding out. Isn't that what he did in the garden? Oh, you know, God told us, God said, we're not to eat of that. Oh, no. Because God knows. He's holding out on you. God knows that if you eat of this tree, you're going to know good and evil. The devil half lied, didn't he, there? That's how he works. They did not know evil until they failed the test in the garden. And guess what? Once man knew evil, he cannot handle it. God understands good and evil, but obviously being God, he doesn't give in to evil. He cannot, because he is holy. But we, on the other hand, caved into the curiosity to know evil, and we've been plagued by sin and death ever since. God loves you, and he has provided all the resources you need, and I'd like to give you 10 of them, if I can today, and I'm going to move quickly. Might not be able to get them all, but that's okay. Brother Juan will have these up on the church website, probably about 3 o'clock, if you want to get them. Verses from Isaiah 55 and verse 6 and 9. I want you to keep your finger there. Go to the book of Isaiah. I tell you, if you never read the book of Isaiah, you ought to take up the challenge and read it. You will receive a tremendous blessing as you read from this wonderful prophet. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be what? Found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly what? Pardon." If you're not saved, God offers to you today salvation. He will pardon you. He will forgive you of all of your sin, past, present, and future. But you have to admit you're a sinner. Because that's first and foremost. If you're not going to admit you're a sinner, and you're not saved, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't even admit that you need help. And do you know what the first thing about overcoming evil is? Admit that you have a sin problem. I talked about that to the kids on Friday night. I had a little help. I brought my friend, Mr. Skull. and he sat right in his chair. And Mr. Scully is a skeleton that my wife had bought a long time ago, which she needed to study the anatomy. And I said, "Mr. Scully represents death." Right? I mean, when we look at symbols of death, we see a skull with the two bones making the sign of an X. So Mr. Scully represented death. And I took a pair of handcuffs, and I had a volunteer come up, and I handcuffed one of the children to Mr. Scully. And said, "That's what every unsaved person looks like, in bondage to sin and death. But they can be free because God loves you. Won't you admit you're a sinner? Allow God to pardon you, as Isaiah said. He will pardon you." Rationalizing sin will never cure it. Admitting you are a sinner will, amen? Too many people, they rationalize sin. And to those of us who are Christians, whatever sinful thoughts we are troubled with, we need to confess them to God on a regular basis, right? Verse Psalm 1:9, I have to tell you what that says, you know, we confess our sins. Faithful and just, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be honest with Him. Be honest with God. He knows your heart, amen? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You can't come to church and act all pious and spiritual and not be hypocritical. Because we're all sinners. Amen? We're all sinners. God knows your heart. But when we come here, we recognize, "Lord, forgive me, I have sinned." And God wants to bless us and help us and guide us. Be honest with God, for He searches our hearts and tries our reins, and He knows it. So confess your weakness to God. You know, they say 50% of a problem resolved is to admit that you have one. Amen? Yeah. So admit you're a sinner. If you're here and you're not saved, you got to admit you're a sinner. God will pardon you. And God will give you all the resources necessary to overcome temptation and sin. Number two, I'm going to move quickly now. Once you're saved by grace through faith. Amen? Okay, so you need to appropriate faith. Believe that God can make a difference in your life. James talked about this. Go back to James. And what did James say? He said, verse 6, let him ask in faith and nothing what? Wavering. God doesn't want us to vacillate. Oh, God, can you help me? Oh, you can't help me. Oh, God's not helping me. And that seems to be part and partial even of a lot of Christians. We're wondering if God's even there. Yes, God's there. You need to believe that He is. And that's what Hebrews says. You need to believe that God is rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But without faith, prior to that says, it's impossible to please God. The God who loves us is the God who will deliver us. The God who loves us is the God who will deliver us. Psalm 68, 19 and 20 say this, blessed be the Lord who daily, that means every day, loadeth us or fills us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation, the word their salvation means who delivers us. And then the first part of the next verse says, He that is our God is the God of deliverance. He is the God of salvation. God can deliver you from any temptation of sin. Amen? Do you believe that? See, if you don't believe it, it ain't going to work. You have to be a believer. And I know my own life. I can either cave in to sin because I, you know, the Bible does say sin is pleasurable for a moment, right? For a season. But I got to look beyond that. And I got to go to God and say, God, you can deliver me. And He will. Wish I had more time for that. But you know, the Bible urges us as believers, those of us who are saved, to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. Ephesians 4:1. And you know, I understand the fact that each and every one of us, we live in a world where we face very, very distracting enticements. Maybe we're offered a job that pays well, but requires that we compromise biblical principles. I wouldn't take that job. I know that the enticement for the good pay is very strong, but I guarantee you that God will bless you with even a better job if you stand up for what's right. And you know, that's where this country has gone wrong, isn't it? And we see that. Our calling is always to do God's will. And when we get out of God's will, then we're on the path of unrighteousness. When we are confronted with temptation, or a particular temptation, to stray from God's way for our lives, we must remember that we have a higher calling. We've been called by God to be ambassadors for Christ. Does that ever lay heavy on your heart? If I do this, I ruin my testimony. I bring a reproach to the Savior who called me to be a servant. And that ought to be an incentive for us not to do those things that are dishonoring to God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me carefully. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do a thorough examination of us. But see, we have a tendency to make excuses for what we do that's wrong, don't we? Yeah, we can say, well, yeah, look, God, I know I said an unkind thing to Mary. But, you know, yada, 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 you know, she deserved it. Make an excuse. But see, you can't do that to the Holy Spirit. When you pray, allow the Holy Spirit to examine you, He'll take all those excuses away. He will bring you to tears. He will wash you and cleanse you. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 18, if I regard wickedness or iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. God gives no blessings to Christians that hold out on Him. God desires His children to be honest. And isn't that what we desire of our own children? When we have caught them doing something wrong. I remember my father, don't lie, because one lie leads to another lie, and you're going to keep lying to me. And the more lies I find you in, the more you're going to be punished. The thing that we as children need to understand is God knows our hearts better than we know. So allow the Holy Spirit to do the examination. That's what David did. David said, try my heart and test me, prove me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I don't think we do that enough. We go to the Lord, oh Lord, forgive me of my sins. And we kind of pray a generic prayer. Forgive me of the sins of commission and the sins of omission. Forgive me of the sins I committed and the ones I forgot. You know, God's desiring for us to confess. If we confess our sins, the best way to confess, say, oh God, help me by your Holy Spirit to see if there be any wicked way in me. It will be hard, but I'll tell you what, it'll be one of the greatest blessings you ever do, because I've been there. He'll bring you to tears, but those tears will wash your soul, amen? They will wash your soul. Number four, always take the way of escape. God will always provide a way of escape. How do you know that? The Bible says it over and over. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14 to 15, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Gives us good advice. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn from it. And pass away. Get away from it. Listen, if you're having a problem with a particular sin, I know today we call it a habit, don't put yourself in the place of that temptation. That makes kind of sense, right? I remember when I started this new diet, the FOMAP diet, I had to get out of the house all of these things that was irritating my stomach. Because I still had a craving and a temptation to eat them. Even though I knew after I eat them, I'd be kind of sick to my stomach. But if it was in the house, I'd be tempted to eat it. So my wife and I kind of made an agreement, I'm not going to bring any of that stuff in the house. If it's not in the house, I ain't going out and getting it. Especially when it's 8 below. I'm not going out and getting that. One thing that I think is very, very different about this generation is that they don't get away from the source of temptation. They gravitate towards it. Because we live in an entitlement society. I'm entitled to it. I deserve it. I'm going to have it. It's really not sin anyway. That's the message of the world. And I think there's one thing that is different about this generation that we live in and that no other generation has ever lived in. And that's the area of the sensual temptation. It is everywhere. It is so easily accessible by a computer, by a cell phone. We are living in the last days, and the devil, he is the prince power of the air. He is the god of this world, and he is making sin and temptation and wickedness very, very, very available. We as parents need to be wise. You got to have those monitors on your computer. Got to have those locks set in place. Because the devil will use sensual temptation. Never in history, never in the history of mankind would we have had access to such sensual, immoral things like we do in the world today. There's one thing we all better be doing. When it comes to sensual, sexual enticement. And that is praying for our young people. Never has there been a generation that has been addicted to pornography like this generation. And drugs. Listen, if you're tempted with any of this, don't hang around the temptation. If you're tempted to get on the computer and go somewhere where you shouldn't, get help. Lock yourself out. If you're tempted to drink alcoholic beverages, don't hang around liquor stores. Don't go past them. And I know what I'm talking about because I often told you about Jack who got miraculously delivered from alcohol by being saved. But he suffered the consequences for the rest of his life. But he said, you know, Tony, I knew where every bar was. goes, and I was smart enough by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to stay away. And he's never had another drink. I mean, you don't go running by the temptation. That's what Solomon said. He said, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. I don't think there's any better simple instruction than that. Resist the devil, James said, and flee, he'll flee from you. Number five. This is a little bit like number three. It does have, it's like the opposite side of the coin. You need to see God as the refuge, as a deliverer. See, we live in a society geared to human pride and self-sufficiency. Even Christians sometimes forget that only God is the true deliverer. Now, what do you mean by that? Okay. You do what's right, and then you take the credit. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm thankful to God that I have a Christian doctor. Dr. Jeff Retire. He works in the New Milford Medical Group, and he is a born-again Christian. I've been going to him for years. One thing that Dr. Tyler impressed me with is that he always says to me, you can come to me for medical advice, but you need to go to the Lord for the medical deliverance. Amen? And he gives the glory to God. Because you can come here to get help, but I'm telling you, your help comes from God. And that's what I mean by this. Had not too long ago, some of you know I had this problem with my inner ear, and I had to go for therapy, where they put you on a table and make you sick. If you're not dizzy, they make you dizzy. It's a vestibular gland that can get messed up. So they put you on this table to get the crystal out of the tube. And I had a born again Christian therapist, and she said to me, she said, now Pastor Tony, I can help you, okay, but I want you to ultimately know all the help comes from God. I'm just a vessel. Isn't that wonderful? That's what I mean by this. God deserves that. Okay, you went to the doctor and he gave you a prescription and he gave you medicine. Who are you praising? Who gave the doctors the medical education and understanding of the anatomy of the body? God. But we live in a society where we're geared to human pride and self-sufficiency. Number six. Trust God to give you the way to victory. And he will. 1 Corinthians 10:13, many of you know that, there has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. So whatever you're facing, whatever temptation that you're facing, somebody before you has already experienced it, amen? Don't say, oh, I'm all alone in this. Nobody's ever been through this trial or this tribulation, because that's a lie. Whatever you're going through has happened to somebody else. The Bible says that God is what? Faithful. He is faithful because he loves you. And if you really believe that, you will deal with your temptation by making no provision for the flesh, rather, because your faith sustains you. You cannot expect God to help you when at the same time you're enjoying your sin. He says in this passage of 1 Corinthians 10:13, and we often use it concerning trials, and that's okay. But what did I tell you? The flip side of that Greek word is temptation, a solicitation of evil. God will always provide the way of escape. The Greek word is ekbasis. Ekbasis literally means an exit. It actually is a nautical term. It is a nautical term used about a ship starting at point A. It's got to go through the storm to get to point B. And it says God will provide the path. That's what that word means. That if you truly are trusting God, follow him. He will give you the way of escape. Number seven. Sometimes God uses other Christians to help us. And again, we give the glory to God. But be mindful who you go to. Be mindful who you go to. Because sometimes when we're struggling with temptation, We often want to go and tell our best friend. And maybe your best friend isn't the best person to go to. Listen, there are two kinds of friends that you are to avoid. The harsh, legalistic type, and then the overly lenient type. All that's okay, everybody does. Go to someone who will help you turn from sin without turning from you. Amen? Someone is not going to judge you. We are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love our neighbor. Listen, the Bible teaches us in Psalm 1. Maybe we could go there. Just real quick, go to Psalm 1. And I go here because I fear for some who have intimate friendships in the world. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that sometimes when we have troubles and temptations, we seek out unsaved people for godly counsel. And do you know the Bible warns us against that? In fact, it's in the very first Psalm. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the, what's the next word? Ungodly. Do you know why, one of the reasons why God provided the church? So that we'll have believers who think like we do. We are to worship, we are to go to those of like precious lot. Number eight. Remember, there are no excuses for failure. There is no temptation taking you but such as common. That's from 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now listen to this. You will never have a temptation that is anything other than human. That's right. Well, you say, I thought the devil was involved. He made me know. The devil orchestrates the ungodly system. The evil system. The anti-God system. But remember what James said, that when we cave in to sin, it's because of the lust of our what? Flesh. So don't make an excuse, oh, the devil may be doing it. Obviously, the devil and the world are enemies of the faith, enemies of the Christian, but so is the flesh, and we need to step up and take responsibility for what choices we make. That's a problem in the world which we live today, isn't it? People don't take responsibility for their choices. I mean, look at the politicians that we have. They go off to do something wicked, and then they, instead of them standing up and repenting of it, they double down on it. Number nine. We must constantly be in the business of renewing our mind. There's a radio program called Renewing Our Mind. I like to listen to it. I'm not saying that I'm on the same page with Dr. R.C. Sproul and everything. He certainly is a very learned and educated a man of God. What I like about renewing our minds is that it reminds me that that's an everyday process. Amen. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this what? World. And do you know that every day that you leave your house to get in your car to go to work, guess what? The world and the devil are trying to get you and mold you and to make you after the world. But you're a child of God. And God is desiring that you become more like Jesus. And so we need to have a transforming. Paul said to the Romans, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that teaches us? And I'm almost done. That we are transformed by the Word of God. Amen? Get into the Word. Before you go out to work, get into the Word. And if you're rushing, okay, provide for yourself a CD so you can listen to the Word of God. Or get a radio program. I have 2-3 radio stations. I thank the brother Tom. Turned me on to a couple that I could finally get them in. And they're good ones, like 570 AD. You'll hear some good sermons. You know, we got to know the vials of the devil. The Bible tells us that. Beware of the methodeia of the devil. He has a method to get you off track. So if you know what his strategy is, God will provide because he loves you. Solutions. Be wise, the Bible tells us. Because the devil is over the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Get the Word of God in your heart before you get started in the day. Even if it's just the daily bread. Because I always look at that as an appetizer. But get into the Word of God. A daily quiet time in the Word of God is essential that we feed our spirit. Find the appropriate scripture for that temptation. If it's lust, there are plenty of verses about that. If it's anger, be angry and sin not. Memorize it and then claim it. When I start lacking in faith, my life first is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Because I had a problem with just wanting to do things my way. But God has taught me, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You've got to memorize some scripture, folks. And appropriate. Learn to meditate on the scripture, asking the Holy Spirit for aid and illumination. Isn't it wonderful that God provided the Holy Spirit? You do have that warning against temptation. Let's have every head bowed. And I'm going to, in my prayer, give you the tenth one. Father, as we close in prayer, may we understand that as your children, we need to make a 100% commitment to the truth. Help us to apply that aspect. That we are sold out for Christ. That we are going to give Him the preeminence in our lives. And we are not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. For we need each other and we need your word. Bless these good people, Father. As they leave here today, may they understand how much you love them with an undying love and a God who has provided all of the resources necessary to overcome temptation. And Lord, if there's somebody here who is not saved, may this day they appropriate your love and forgiveness. May they right now admit they're a sinner. Understand the wages of sin is death. Understand that you love them and you provided for them eternal life through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. May they acknowledge Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, and then praise you for that provision. May they, by simple faith, acknowledge that now and help us who are Christians to appropriate your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook and we're going to conclude today's service with another song on love. And this is Jesus Loves Even Me. And if you're here this morning and you don't think God loves you, He does love you. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. God loves you. He loves you with an undying love. He will never quit calling you unto Himself. Jesus loves even me. Let's sing this. Yeah, we're going to have to close on one stanza.